Lord, bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Many of us marched through banks of snow or drove on slippery roads this morning to get to church. And I wish we could have been rewarded with a happy and easy gospel. Maybe a story about the feeding of the 5,000 on a grassy field, or maybe the teaching about the lilies of the field and the abundant life that Jesus and God want for us. I would not have minded the gospel equivalent of a sunny and happy day. But that is not what God or our common lectionary invite us to think about this morning. Instead, Jesus' words to us this morning are demanding and difficult. Jesus tells us that from a spiritual perspective, anger is the same as murder, and lusting is the same as committing adultery, and swearing by anything to prove that one is honest should be unnecessary if one is truly honest. And no one should even consider a divorce unless adultery has been committed. This does not sound like the Jesus that we know. In fact, it's hard to know how to engage these legalistic statements about the deadly consequences of emotional sin and human failing, especially when the person who's making them is usually so ready to forgive. Jesus is usually so appreciative of human failing and human suffering, and so ready to heal, to transform, to redeem. Just a few days ago, the same Jesus was telling us that the meek and the peacekeepers are blessed. And just last week, he told us that we are the salt and the light of the world. Now, Jesus seems to be leaning into the law of the Ten Commandments and doing them one better. He's pointing out to us the exact and specific requirements for living a good life. But the exact and specific requirements sound impossible in 21st century America. Perhaps they were always impossible. How can we never be angry, or never swear, or never lust, or never fail at something as big and meaningful as marriage? How can we not sin in an imperfect world when we are imperfect and we live with imperfect people? That question, sincerely asked, gives us the first hint of the answer I think Jesus wants us to find. We can't be perfect. At least we can't be perfect if by perfect we mean never being angry, or never swearing, or never wanting what doesn't belong to us, or never failing in intimate, essential ways. We're human. We are all imperfect. And that is what I think Jesus wants us to know. And that is what I think Jesus already knows. That the degrees of imperfection may vary, we are all imperfect. No human being should imagine they are better than other human beings. We're all on the same imperfect continuum. Some commit murder in their hearts. And all of it inflicts pain, and all of it is pulling us away from a life of abundance and peace and grace. being human, we care very much about where we fall on the continuum of sin and imperfection. And even if we know we may hate a few people in our hearts, we often feel superior to the people who actually commit murder or actually rob banks. But at least on this occasion, Jesus wants us to understand the distinctions that we're making, they're not as big as we think they are. Jesus says that from a spiritual perspective, hate is as bad as murder, and lusting is as bad as adultery. Jesus wants us to find the discipline to stop the hating and the lusting, the envy and the lying and the swearing. This passage about imperfection in Matthew's gospel brings another famous moment in Jesus' life to mind. In the Gospel of John, the Pharisees bring a woman who is guilty of adultery before Jesus, and they tell him that it's their tradition to stone people who are guilty of adultery. And then they ask him what they should do. And the wily, gracious Jesus draws in the dust for a few minutes to let the silence settle, to let the question hang in the air. And then he looks up at them and says, "Let the one who is without sin cast the first stone." And then there's more silence, I imagine, because the gospel tells us that no one throws the first stone because no one can throw the first stone. No one's without sin. And the gospel tells us in that story that the men who were gathered slowly put down their stones and one by one walk away until only Jesus and the woman are standing there. And then Jesus forgives her and tells her to cease her sin and to live a disciplined life. In that gospel story and in this one, Jesus is showing us that none of us are entitled to be self-righteous or haughty when we look at other human beings. None of us can cast the first stone. Jesus frees the adulterous woman by forgiving her and telling her to stop her sinning. It's Jesus' forgiveness that turns the key to new life and new possibility for her. And forgiveness is what holds the key for new life, new abundant life for each of us, even in the places that we think are barren or dead and void. In the Lord's Prayer, we pray, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." We practice in that prayer what our gospel teaches us this morning. None of us are perfect. We all need forgiveness. And the Lord's Prayer suggests that as we practice giving forgiveness to those people who need forgiveness from us, we will get better at recognizing and accepting God's forgiveness of us and our own imperfection. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. offers a beautiful summary of this morning's gospel. He says, "There's some good in the worst of us and some evil in the best of us. And when we discover this, we're less prone to hate our enemies." And he goes on to say, "We must develop and maintain the capacity to forgive, because the person who is devoid of the power of forgiveness is also devoid of the power to love." Martin understood what today's gospel is about. If we only point to other people's failings and defects and faults and sins, we will remain stuck in our own hatred, stuck with murder in our hearts. As a monk friend of mine likes to say, resentment is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. Jesus is demanding more from us this morning. He's demanding a disciplined character that chooses humility and forgiveness over smugness and self-righteousness. Even if it's slow going, even if we have to practice being ready, to be ready, to be ready to forgive, we are called to begin the practice of reconciliation and forgiveness. Jesus is calling us to see ourselves and one another in a new light. Matthew's gospel passage today is a tough passage, but it turns out there is hope for an abundant life in Jesus' words. Today, in sober words, Jesus tells us that abundance can come through a disciplined commitment to humility and forgiveness. Rather than lilies of the field or a beautiful grassy plain where 5,000 people are being fed, this morning's words about abundance are harsh. Harsh like wind, harsh like winter. But they point towards the light. Love's slow transformation of the pinched and broken places in our lives to places of new hope and new life. So amidst our winter season, may we each choose to continue to grow in Christ, loving and forgiving each other as Christ loves and forgives us, until we can put down our stones and be at peace with ourselves and be at peace with each other. Amen.
Amen.